Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, melech haolam asher kidishenu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivenu lahadlik ner shel shabbat. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, sovereign of all, who hallows us with your commandments, commanding us to kindle the light of the Sabbath. Around the world, millions of families recite that prayer, among others, as they welcome in Shabbat, the Sabbath. And they spend the whole day before preparing, cooking, cleaning, getting everything ready to celebrate this holy, holy day. Other than for extreme circumstances, they wouldn't miss this for the world. But somehow our culture has lost the meaning of this day, has lost the value of this day. From the time we're kids, we're taught to stay busy. We're taught to get involved in everything that we can, to do more, to accomplish more, to earn more, to be more, right? I've even heard some go as far as to call this the spirit of this age, busyness. Busyness. I mean, how better for the enemy of our souls to distract us from our calling, our relationships, our joy, our peace, our health, than to keep us busy. And if he could just keep us worn down, exhausted, striving, always going, always pushing, then we cannot be who God created us to be, and we're not going to experience his abundance working in our lives. Many years ago now, I worked for one of the largest business and technology firms in the world. We easily worked 80-plus hours a week. Sometimes we'd go 2 or 3 days without sleep, just trying to push through and meet a deadline. I remember one day looking around at the office and at the folks I worked with and realizing, you know, they all look twice as old as they really are. And I was lucky enough to live locally to our client, but most people, they flew in every Sunday evening and flew out every Friday evening to be with their families. And the money and the benefits were great, but all the fun things they could buy with it, they were never home to enjoy. Their families were falling apart, their marriages were falling apart because they were never there. And I began to think and wonder to myself, there's got to be more to life than this. But these days it's commonplace to say how busy we are, isn't it? It's a status symbol. Hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm so busy, you wouldn't believe my schedule this week, right? If you don't say it, you probably know somebody who does. And if you've never heard that before, come up to me after the service and ask me how I'm doing. It's kind of a go-to. It's just to talk about how busy we are. And it's not wrong to be busy. It's wrong to be too busy. But it's not wrong to be busy. We've heard, I'm sure you've heard the saying, idle hands are the devil's playground. And there's some truth to that, but I think we often use that to avoid, and we try to stay busy to avoid having to deal with the thoughts and the habits and the emotions and the things that confront us when we're alone, when we're quiet, when we're bored. The problem with busyness is when we become too busy for what's most important in our lives, for loving God, for loving neighbor, and for loving ourselves, then we have a problem. And it's not that it's bad things that always keep us busy. Good things can keep us busy too, right? I know from a life in ministry that ministry is a good thing, but you can burn out pretty quick. It happens all the time. So I have these questions sitting at my desk upstairs, to remind me, is it good or is it God? And if it's God, it's also good, by the way. But is it good or is it God? Is this for me or is it for Christ? Am I trying to fill some void in my life by saying yes to this? Am I trying to get some validation or am I trying to feel good about myself for having checked off this box of doing a good deed today? But God hasn't called me to do it. There's so much good in this world. And I thank him every day that he hasn't called any of us to be the world's savior, right? It's too much for us to take it all on. And so with all this good we can be doing, if God hasn't called us to it, we wear ourselves out doing what God has not called us to do. And we don't have the energy or the desire or the time to do what he has called us to do, and we end up frustrated. Now, I know we're not supposed to weigh sin or say that one's worse than the other, but if I could just take a liberty this morning, might I suggest that even a bigger sin than having idle hands is the sin of not resting. Do you know that not resting is a sin? It's such a big one, in fact, that resting is one of the big 10 commandments. God's big 10, right up there with do not murder, do not steal, do not worship false idols. He tells us to rest. Let's take a look at this passage together from Exodus chapter 20, and let's read it together with some chutzpah. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Good chutzpah. So that word holy, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Holy means to be set apart. The Sabbath is to be different from all the other days, to be set apart. Now, I know we can be diligent with all the other commandments, or at least we can be diligent to follow the commandments that our society has penned with legal consequences, right? Sometimes I think we're far more afraid of our government than we are of God. But when it comes to the Sabbath, we just dismiss this one as, oh, it's a good idea, but it's impossible to achieve. Or, you know, in a perfect world, we'd all have Sabbath, but I'm just too busy for that. I don't have time. I can't take a day off. Are you kidding me? The world would stop turning if I took a day off. Some people even think in a perfect world, every day should be the Sabbath. But that's not what God created either. See, God did not create the Sabbath as just another rule or regulation or as this issue of ethics. He didn't even give us the command because he needs us to rest. I've got a 3-year-old at home, and I'll tell you what, I don't care if he needs to rest or not. He's taking a nap because I need him to rest. That's not how God works. That's not why he tells us to Sabbath. Maybe for me, but that's not why he tells us to Sabbath. God created Sabbath. He created rest as a gift. As a gift for us, because he knows it's the only way for us to live abundant, fruitful, joyful, peaceful lives. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now, he said this because the Pharisees were nitpicking at every rule and regulation around the Sabbath and what you could and what you couldn't do. And maybe they had good reason for this, to try and make sure everyone was paying attention to this oft-forgotten commandment. But they turned the Sabbath from a gift into a burden. They lost the understanding that it's to be enjoyed, and they made it into a law to be policed. But what does this mean for us? Is the Sabbath just a free-for-all? We push as hard as we can for 6 days and then do whatever we want for one? Do we push even harder during the week to get everything done so that we can crash harder on the weekends? These are valid questions, but if this is where we want to go with this, maybe we've missed the point. See, God designed rest not just for one day a week. God designed rest as a lifestyle to rejuvenate us, to inspire our creativity, to give us shalom, that is balance, peace, wholeness, to enrich our relationships, both spiritual and natural, to restore the joy of our salvation. Did you know that God demonstrated rest on the very first day of creation? Most people would recognize that it says on the seventh day God rested, right? But it actually says more than that. We've forgotten that the God of the entire universe, the God who could create everything we know, in a single breath, chose to take 7 days, or 7 periods, or 7 processes, or 7 orders, or whatever, 7 times to do it. He didn't do it all at once. Take a look with me at Genesis chapter 1. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Let me just stop right there. Why did God create night? So we could rest. And then look at the verse I've highlighted. There was evening and there was morning the first day. Now, it doesn't just say this because he created day and night on this day. Actually, every single day of creation, it says there was evening and morning on that day. And there's this pattern throughout all of creation. There's creation, there's evening, there's morning, there's creation, there's evening, there's morning, there's creation, there's evening, there's morning. There's this pattern, and there's a pause between the creation. God rested every single day. The same God who never slumbers, never sleeps, he took a break. But why? Well, first of all, I think he's modeling something for us, modeling a lifestyle of rest that we all need to realize and that we all need to understand. But second, there's something about rest that fuels our creativity. Think of a painter. This is one of my favorites up here, Bob Ross. Think of a painter or a sculptor or an artist who's working on a piece, and they stop and they take a step back and they pause and they look at the whole big picture and they say, "You know, let's give our happy little tree a friend." And every day in creation, well, almost every day in creation, we see that God steps back too. Remember the verses that say, "And God saw that it was good," throughout creation, "and God saw that it was good." He stepped back and he looked at what he'd done. And he said, "This is good." And then there was evening and there was morning. And he did it again. We even see it in the creation of woman, right? God creates Adam and then he steps back and looks at the whole big picture and he says, "Wait a second. Something is not right here. Something is not good. I don't think man should be alone." So he stops and he gives man a happy little friend, a partner. And it was good. It was very good. See, out of this modeling, then God goes on and starts to create laws to govern things and to show his people how to live in abundance. So he created these laws to teach his people and all of creation, even the livestock and the ground, had a time to rest. Even the seasons demonstrate this as winter turns into spring. Pruning brings forth new life. The resting and dying of a seed breaks forth with new energy, new fruitfulness. The sun goes down every day to let the earth rest. Who could think of a more precious gift than that? How many of us actually do it well? So this morning I want to help you learn how to rest. I want you to learn how to receive this gift of Sabbath and to make it a habit in your life. But first, let's take a rest from this teaching. Let's stand and let's worship together. My favorite line in that song is, "So teach my song to rise to you." And to me, that's what this series is all about. Second nature, learning spiritual habits in our lives. And that's what these habits of prayer and study and service and Sabbath, and that's what these are to me. It's me learning how to lift my song. The number one question that I get about the Sabbath is always when. When do I do it? I'll give you a couple answers. There's a clear and ancient answer to this question, and there is a loose, modern, and culturally defined answer to this question. The clear and ancient answer is this. The Sabbath is and always has been from sundown on Friday until sundown on Saturday. Technically, it's just Saturday, because in the ancient world, especially the Jewish world, the day started in the evening, and went until the next evening. So Friday at sundown began Saturday. In Genesis, that's why we see throughout creation there was evening first, there was evening, and then there was morning every day of creation. Evening came first. And there's something I don't want us to miss about this because I think it's very important as we talk about rest. Rest comes first. Rest comes first. Rest comes before work, not after. It's preparatory to all that we do, not just what we do when we're exhausted. I'm sure you all know the difference between trying to attempt something or take on a project or do a task when you're exhausted versus doing it when you're rested and refreshed and ready to go. Rest is one of the most important things we can do to prepare for work, not to recover. So that's the clear and ancient answer. What about the loose, modern, culturally defined answer? Well, that one says you can have Sabbath any day you want, just so long as you do it. It's the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law, after all, in that understanding the purpose of the law is that we would rest. And so long as you rest, so long as you do it at some point during the week, that's fine. And then there's the question of Sunday. What about Sunday? Well, strangely enough, Sunday was never meant to replace the Sabbath. In the early church, at least most of it, some of the church started to replace the Sabbath on Sunday, but most of the early church did not. They would have Sabbath on Saturday, and then Sunday, they would all get up early before work, and they would gather at each other's homes to pray and celebrate communion and celebrate the resurrection, which happened on a Sunday. They were not the same thing. Celebrating the resurrection and Sabbath rest were not the same thing. Now, that doesn't mean you can't worship on a Sabbath, but Sabbath is not just a day for worship, because every day is a day for worship. And of course, according to the loose, modern, and culturally defined answer, Sunday is as good a day as any to celebrate the Sabbath. In my personal opinion, if God set apart a time, that is Saturday, and he blessed it, then why would I not do my very best to meet him in that time? And I know you'll say, well, isn't God available all the time? And yes, he certainly is. I'm available all the time to my son too. But there are special times that I set apart for special things with my son. And so I see this a little bit differently. Even looking at creation, at the creation story, we see that God had a special time when he met with Adam and Eve in the garden, didn't he? He would come down every day during the cool of the day, it says, and he would walk with Adam and Eve in a special way. And what kept them from that was their sin, because after they sinned, what happens? God comes down and he says, hey, Adam, Eve, where are you? You're late. We had an appointment. And they hid because of their sin. So when God sets a meeting with me, and this is not out of fear, this is out of anticipation, this is out of hope, this is out of excitement, because I get to meet with God. I get a special time with Daddy. I don't want to be late. God doesn't need to meet my schedule after all. He's God, I'm not. I need to meet his schedule. So that's my take. That's my personal opinion. If that's too hard for you, if you work on a Saturday, if there's a reason you can't do that, you know, I would go with that loose and culturally defined answer that says, just do it. Just find a time you can rest and do it. And I really believe that that's God's take on it too, is, hey, I'd love for it to be when I appointed it, but do it when you can. I'll be there, right? God's ready to meet us where we are. So after the question of when, of course, the next question is, well, what am I allowed to do on the Sabbath? And the very question implies some legality. And we won't get around that, I guess, but it's almost impossible to answer that. So I like to rephrase it and say, what am I not supposed to do? There's an easy answer to that in Exodus chapter 20, verse 10. You shall not do any work. Period. You shall not do any work. Simple, right? And yet, for thousands of years, we've been trying to figure out what that means. Many go as far as not even to flip on a light switch on the Sabbath because it constitutes starting a fire. If I had used a match like I was supposed to light these candles, I wouldn't have been able to extinguish it. It had to go out on its own, because once I light the candles, I can't do any more work. In many parts of the world, and even in our own country, Jewish neighborhoods and such, elevators stop at every floor on the Sabbath. They stop at every floor up, every floor down, because you're not allowed to press a button. And if you do press a button, nothing happens. I've tried. It takes you 20 minutes to get where you're going, but at least you don't have to take the stairs. But in these same neighborhoods, you'll notice there are very few, if any, cars on the road. The shops, the businesses, they're all closed. There's even a set distance for how far you can walk before it's constituted as work on the Sabbath. But Sabbath was made for man, remember? It's a gift. It's not a burden. It's not a restriction. It's about rest, not legalism. It's a day for breaking from the norms of life, from your regularly scheduled activities, to enjoy yourself and enjoy the people around you. So, if you do laundry every other day of the week, don't do it on the Sabbath. If you don't do laundry every other day of the week, unless you're the one person on this earth who finds it exhilarating and relaxing, don't do it on the Sabbath. Leave your dishes in the sink. It's not going to hurt anybody. Just on the Sabbath. Just on the Sabbath. Go outside. Spend some time with your family, with your friends. Turn off the TV. Turn off your phone. Spend time with real people face to face. I know it sounds crazy, but it's so good. If you work with your hands, try reading a book. If you work with your mind all week, try building something or gardening or riding a bike. If you spend all week isolated at a desk, spend the Sabbath with your friends. If you spend it around all other people, maybe you get some quiet time for yourself or with your family. Whatever you do all week long, take a break. Sabbath is your day. Do what you love with the people you love. It's kind of like taking a mini vacation every single week. And we should look forward to it like that too. We should plan ahead for it. It's a chance to unplug, to unwind, to free your mind from all the stresses and anxieties and worries of the week. But like a vacation, it takes some preparation too. You'll notice that those who practice Sabbath religiously leave work early on Friday, because they have to get all the shopping done, they have to get all the chores done, they have to get all the food prep done for the next day before the sun goes down, because they're not allowed to do it afterwards. And there's a great precedent for this in Exodus 16. It says, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I might test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare for what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." See, Israel was out in the desert wandering around after over 400 years of slavery to Egypt, and God provided food for them, manna from heaven. And manna is like this white flaky thing that shows up with the dew on the, like dew on the grass in the morning. And they would go out and they'd collect it and they'd make bread from it. It was sweet like honey. And if they collected more than what they needed for one day, this is why we have in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." This is where it comes from. God would provide the bread, and they would get just what they needed for one day. And if they got any more than that, more than what they needed, it would rot by the next morning. It'd be full of maggots. It'd be gross. It'd be unedible. So you could only collect what you needed for one day, except there was no manna on the Sabbath. And so they had to collect a double portion on Friday to prepare for the Sabbath, and only on Friday it didn't rot. And so they had food for the next day. Now, in our family, we still cook on the Sabbath. Actually, Saturday morning pancakes are kind of a tradition at our house, and Aiden loves to help. But we do make sure that the house is clean, that the chores are done, all that's finished by Friday. And if it's not for some reason, well, it can wait till Saturday or till Sunday or Monday or even next week sometimes, I'll admit. It can wait. And this is partly because chores need to be done anyway, right? You got to have a time to do it. But even more so because when everything is done, when your responsibilities are taken care of, when the house is clean, when the laundry's folded and put away, when the lawn's mowed, you have nothing else to be anxious about. You can just rest and enjoy a clean house. It's wonderful. So what do you do on the Sabbath? You enjoy it. You take a break from normal. You take a mini vacation every week. But there's another side to this command besides do no work, and that is this: keep the Sabbath holy. Now remember, holy means set apart, different, opposite of the norm, but there's also a spiritual quality to it, isn't there? It's not just set apart, it's set apart for God. And this is where all the other habits we've been talking about come in. Prayer, study, service, all those things. Take time on the Sabbath to pray. Even if you do it every other day, which you should, take time on the Sabbath to pray. And maybe on the Sabbath you do it a different way. Remember we talked about all those different ways? Maybe on the Sabbath you do a prayer walk in nature or around your neighborhood. Maybe you try coloring or journaling prayer. Maybe instead of the kind of praying where you do all the talking and all the asking, and I call them to-do prayers because you're giving God his to-do list for the day. Maybe instead of that, you take time on the Sabbath just to praise and give thanks for what God's already given you, for what God's already done in your life, for the answered prayers the rest of the week. Why don't you take the Sabbath and do that? And maybe, just maybe, you even take the Sabbath and you have listening prayer. You let God do the talking. And I'm not saying you ask him a question and see what if he says yes or no. No, I mean, you don't ask anything. You just sit there and you listen and see what God wants to talk about. Let him initiate the conversation. On the Sabbath, be careful also what you study. Take time to read the scripture or a spiritual book or a devotional. But be careful what you feed your mind. If you remember, Rachel told us that we're always studying something, even if it's Taylor Swift, right? Always studying something. So be intentional. In our family, the TV is off on Saturdays. And we're working at being better with the time we spend on our phones. But it's important to us to unplug, and it's so fruitful because it forces us to be intentional about our time and relationships with each other. And we're not legalistic about it. I mean, we might watch a movie together in the evening or something like that, but maybe you want to use Right Now Media, which is a great resource. It's a Christian video streaming service that's available to everyone here at Revolution. Maybe you want to look up a Bible study or a marriage conference or a worship conference, or maybe just play some worship music around the house while you're getting breakfast ready in the morning. But whatever it is, be careful what you study and keep it holy. Now, I will say that Sabbath is not the best time for a missions project. Maybe every once in a while it's okay, but the problem is missions can easily take away from our rest. We're pouring out when we do missions projects, and it's often, it's fruitful, it's rewarding, but it's exhausting. The day of rest is not the day to do that. Like I said, every once in a while, maybe that's all right, but the day of rest is for resting. And so when you're doing a missions project, you're like obeying, I'm going to obey this command, but I have to disobey this one to do this one. And you're not keeping the whole law. Now, we know Jesus healed on the Sabbath. And he has told us very clearly never to deny serving and loving our neighbors, even on the Sabbath. If there's a need, we're supposed to be there. But Jesus also observed the Sabbath every single week, and he lived a lifestyle that balanced work and rest. We see so many times where he went away to be by himself or to pray, or went away with his disciples to get a break from his travels and his ministry. And he modeled that for his disciples, and he taught them how to take a break. Sometimes that's even our best mission. Think Chick-fil-A or Hobby Lobby, right? And the witness that they are to the world because they're different, because they're set apart, because they're taking a break. I've been honoring the Sabbath for most of my adult life now. And it's not something I intentionally learned from my parents, although I am trying to intentionally teach that to my son, and very soon I'll begin teaching that to my daughter. Yeah. I think the first service missed that one, so good. Good. Yeah, you got more sleep this morning, so you were ready to go. You caught it. But I learned it through studying Scripture, through asking questions, through watching other people, through testing it out little by little by little. Maybe for a few hours this week, and maybe I'll do a whole day that week. And I began testing it out and seeing that this was really good. So we practice Sabbath every week at our house. And the resting gives us the perspective that we need to be creative and active through the week. It centers us on God's will for our lives, helps us to slow down, helps us to quiet down, helps us to hear His voice. And it can be hard sometimes. It can be hard, especially as you get started. Sabbath is just one more thing to do, right? It's one more thing that you have to really be intentional, and it's one more, but it doesn't take long before it becomes that gift that you want it to be. Sometimes it's hard to turn things off, like the TV or the phone. Sometimes it's hard when you have a pressing project that you're behind on or trying to get ahead on, and you want to work on it and get it done. But when you set those things aside for one day, you just feel better in the end. On the other side of that, it can be really hard sometimes to fill a whole entire day with engaging activities for your whole family. Mothers, yeah, know exactly what I'm talking about. It can be really hard to try and make it fun for everybody. But you know what? I don't want my kids to remember the one day that we have together as a family sitting in front of the television. We went to Galrine yesterday, had a great time. Those are the kinds of memories that I want my kids to have when they grow up. I want them to know how to rest. I want them to know about the Sabbath. I want them to know how to keep it holy. I want them to have good memories of what Aiden knows that we call Family Day. Sabbath has been one of the best things for us. And it's giving us a stronger marriage. It's making us better parents. It's giving us a stronger faith. It's giving us a clearer focus on our goals and our dreams and our desires. I know you've heard me say before things like, well, I can't afford not to tithe because I know the blessing and abundance that comes from it. Well, I can't afford not to rest either. It's the very thing that keeps me going most weeks, that I rest first. If I miss the Sabbath, I barely make it through Monday. I've faced major burnout in my life more than once. The worst time led to 6 months of sabbatical to recover from the onslaught of mental stress and be able to be functional again. But since then, I've started honoring the Sabbath. And I will tell you what, I am more productive than ever. I'm more at ease than ever. I'm more fruitful, more joyful than ever because I've learned how to rest. I can't afford not to do it. And I long to see that fruit in each of your lives as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this awesome, awesome gift of rest. Some days I think it's the best thing you ever gave us. But then I remember Jesus. When I remember the gift of your Son, and I remember the work and the price that you paid so that I could have wholeness and peace and rest. So we come to your table this morning, as we do every week, just to rest with you and to enjoy fellowship and to share a meal together. And we look forward to this every week. And so here we are. God, we praise you and we thank you for all that you are and all that you've done. Every promise you have yet to fulfill in our lives. This we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Oz Guinness says in his book, The Call, the modern world has scrambled things so badly that today we worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. Think about that for a minute. We worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. Lord, have mercy. My prayer for us all is that we would learn how to rest this week. That we would learn how to receive the gift of rest. And I know at this point in the service, we always encourage you to go out and be the revolution, and I don't want you to stop. Never stop being the revolution. But as you practice this, as this becomes a habit in your life, rest is going to become revolutionary for you and for your family and for those who witness you being set apart from the world. But maybe just for today, I'll just encourage you to rest, to enjoy the rest of your mini vacation this week, to go in peace. Shabbat Shalom.